Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. As I will.
Can someone help me with the microphone?
Yes. Usually I do prepare it before I start, but today I just didn't get to. But while someone's preparing the microphone, I just want to thank EFC for your support and prayers over the years. And we especially like to thank you for sending a team of great people to visit us, the short-term team, Carissa, Angus, Agatha, Jackie, Steph. They were a huge blessing to us. So we really thank you for sending such great people to join us in Asia. Thank you. So how about we just keep going? So in the intro, you came in on at 11. We got to talk about the question: what is your view of the devil? What is your view of the devil? It's not something that we think about much nowadays, do we? What's your view of the devil? Because I don't know about you, but as soon as someone asks you that question, it's usually this image of the red thing with horns, living in fire, and often not very happy and mean looking with a tail. And that's usually the image of the devil, isn't it? Or if you come from a more Asian background, I've learned over the years that In Chinese culture, there's actually no one devil. It's more there's evil spirits and good spirits. You think of the Monkey King, the journey to the West. It's sort of like that. There's the river spirit or God. There's the mountain spirit or there's the kitchen spirit and all like that. And so for Chinese culture, it's more many spirits rather than one devil. So I don't know about you, but for me, I grew up in a Chinese family, and there's very little emphasis in my growing up, non-Christian family. The emphasis was study hard, get better grades, and study hard until you get a good job. That was the emphasis in my family. Very little spiritual discussion at home. I'm sure it's very different to yours, but that's mine from a non-Christian Asian family. And generally in Australia, it's very rational, logic. You know, there's very little spoken about spiritual realm. And so growing up for me, it was not often spoken about. And even in conservative Christian circles, very little is spoken about the devil. And, So today, so you've got to ask yourself the question, what is your view of the devil? It's an important question to ask yourself, because today, when we look at Ephesians 6, the writer Paul says, there is a devil. And there are spiritual forces. And that all people are involved in this spiritual struggle. The devil is scheming right now, coming into church. Are you aware of that? It's a very important question to answer. Because if Paul is right about the devil, then we need to ask ourselves, is it devil? Is he involved in my life right now? is he doing in my life? I'm wrestling with a situation. Is he speaking into that situation? As I open up my computer, is it just me and the computer or someone actually there tempting me? Is there really a devil? And do you believe in the devil's working in your life right now? Serious stuff, isn't it? Usually, quite often Christians, we believe in God, believe in me and my relationship with God, but we don't think there's a third party involved tempting us, swaying us. And that's the point today we'll look at. The main point of the talk today is there is a spiritual struggle with the devil. And so stand firm in God and pray. There is a spiritual struggle with the devil, so stand firm in God and pray. So I've broken up the talk into three parts, three S's. The spiritual struggle, stand firm in God, stand firm by praying. Okay, so the first one describes the real struggle, spiritual struggle, and the second are how we respond to that struggle. So before we move on, can we pray and commit our time to God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together as your people and look at this passage in Ephesians. Heavenly Father, help us to see that the devil is real. Help us to see that there is a daily struggle with the devil. The devil is scheming and working in each of our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us, protect us from the devil. Thank you that we don't yet fear the devil because Jesus has died and rose again and has conquered and victorious. But help us to know how to stand firm against the devil. What does it mean to put on the armor of God and stand firm? Help us to stand firm in prayer. In Jesus' name. So the first point is there is a spiritual struggle. Please keep your Bibles open. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So this section starts off with a finally in verse 10. So he's closing up the whole book of Ephesians, six chapters of Ephesians. He's summing up the themes, and especially the last half. There's two halves, chapter 1 to 3, and then 4 to 6. And 4 to 6 is really the practical outliving of their new identity. Gentiles became Christians. And chapter 4 to 6, how you are to live with a new identity as Christians. And so Paul talks about this struggle living out your identity. And so he says in verse 12, our struggle is not, look at it, it's not against flesh and blood. So firstly, the struggle, verse 12. This idea of struggle is close, hand to hand, wrestling. It's not distant fighting. Nowadays, warfare, it's all remote control internet. So you can have a team of soldiers here in this church and they're fighting the war across on the other side of the world. It's not that picture. It's direct, hand-to-hand with the person. Have you been in a physical struggle before? Have you had a fight before? No, no one's confessed. That's okay. Well, I used to wrestle with my brother growing up. We used to have not a healthy relationship, two boys at home. We used to wrestle. And wrestling's hard. Try it. Go home with your brother. Wrestle with it. See how long and who can win. It's hard work. I know because I've got two kids. They wrestle with me and Ollie's at 6.5 and she's got the top. Jonathan's 3. He's wrapped down on my feet. And they're pushing me. They're climbing over me, and within 5 minutes, I'm saying, stop, you're hurting me, I'm tired. That's how fast, how long I last for two small kids, let alone an adult, let alone the devil. It's a struggle. The Christian life is a struggle. It's not easy. Being a Christian at university, is a struggle. Being a Christian in the workforce, growing as a Christian, thriving in the workforce is a struggle. Being married is actually not easy. It's a struggle every day for me to love my wife, to put my needs aside and to love my wife is a struggle. Being single is a struggle. Being a Christian every day is a struggle. But the struggle's not with people. Do you feel like most of your struggle's with people? Sometimes I struggle with my kids. Sometimes in marriage. Sometimes relationships. They seem to be the struggles that overwhelm us. My boss, my lecturer. It's a struggle. But here, look at that verse again. Our struggle is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood. So look here. Our struggle is not. The flesh and blood idea is the idea that people are weak, they're not spiritual, as in spiritual forces, people get tired, and it seems like that these relationships seem to struggle, but it's not. Paul is saying our struggle is not with people, our struggle is with the devil. Our struggle is with the devil. So that's in verse 11, 12, 16. Verse 11 says, take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, about rulers and authorities, powers and dark worlds, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 16 talks about flaming arrows at the evil one. The devil is real, Paul is saying. There is a devil. The devil is not the red thing that you think about. That's a lie to make you think it's a joke, but it's not. It's not a joke. The devil is not a joke. You see it in the whole Bible, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. You see it in the Old Testament, Job, God and Satan. You see it in the Gospels, where Jesus was taken away by the devil, who tempted. Here, the Apostle Peter in chapter 5 talks about roaring lion. Ephesians 6, Paul is talking about the devil. The devil is real. And do you believe? You see, C.S. Lewis says in his Screwtape Letters, I think it's called, he says there's two extreme views of the devil. So one side is we give too much power to the devil. The devil made me sin. The devil's making me do it. No. The devil does not make us sin. He does not have power to make us do things. The devil tempts, he twists, he lies, but he doesn't make us sin. We are responsible, the Bible says, for our sin. The devil's there and wants us to sin. The devil wants us not to believe in God and trust God. And the devil's power is his lies. But that's a great power. To teach to lie is a powerful thing. You know, just imagine the statement, God loves me. It's a pure statement. It's great. It's true. You see, it had a few words. God loves me when I'm good. That's not true. Just because you do good things doesn't mean God loves me. In fact, that's a works mentality. Just to do more, pray more, God loves me. That's wrong. I'm a sinner. Doesn't matter if I do good or bad. God loves me purely because Jesus died for me. God loves me because I'm good. It's wrong. God loves me, but I feel alone. And the feelings can be so powerful. But they're lies as well. That's not truth. That's a lie sometimes. When I feel God doesn't love me, the truth is in God's word, that is truth, and anything that does not align with God's word is a lie. It is not truth. So one extreme is it's too powerful. The other extreme is that we make him so weak. And I think this is our Western world, the current age. We think, the devil can't touch me, it has no impact, I don't even believe in him. That's wrong. You just look at the state of the churches. You look at divorce rates in churches. You go to work and speak up as a Christian. No, don't speak. Just stay in your corner. That's what you should be doing. No. Greed, materialism, the housing industry, self-indulgence. We are so rich in Australia. Did you know you're so rich? Medical care, health care, we've got everything. And yet the devil says, you need more. You need to work harder, get more. No, we are rich in abundance here. So the devil, we be careful of being that person, too extreme, too much power, and then powerless. We're going to keep that balance. And the devil is scheming, look at verse 11. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. So I don't know about you, but when you're scheming against someone, you don't say, hi, I'm here, and I'm trying to do something to you. No, the devil doesn't work like that. The devil is covert. You don't know that he's doing it. He doesn't. And he's looking for a weak point. And he's not like flesh and blood. He doesn't need to sleep, so he's got plenty of time working through. As soon as you wake up, he's there. He's looking for something for you. And this devil is scheming for different people. So he's got a plan for me, Mike, looking for my weaknesses. He's got a plan for Joyce, looking for her weakness. And each of you have a different plan. And the devil is working. What do you think he's working in your life right now? You never thought you'd come today. You can come stay at church. But no, you were reminded that this is the day when the devil is actually stopping you, sowing seeds. He's against you. He's against Christians coming together. The devil is powerful. Verse 12. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, powers, and the enemy realm. So before in verse 11, the devil was singular. Verse 12 is a plural. The idea here, I see that rulers, authorities, there's like powerful spirits involved in this struggle. It sounds a bit fearful, I don't know about you. But I must clarify, God is more powerful. And never, the Bible never says that there's this equal struggle, you know, like Star Wars. It's not like that. God is completely sovereign, he's completely powerful, and the devil is subservient. The devil never over usurps God, but he is powerful. He is there. And so Paul, writing to these Gentile Christians, encouraging them to keep growing, chapter 4-6, live out your Christian life. Don't go back to the Gentile ways. And he is summing up in chapter 6. Watch out. Watch out for the devil in your life. Watch out today. Have you had a watch out moment in your life? Stop. Watch out. When I was a kid, my auntie Macy, my mum's sister, she took care of us three kids, my brother and sister, for a few days. My parents must have been traveling or something like that. And I still recall it being a joyful time. And she was driving over the bridge, driving us somewhere. And Auntie Macy is not the most, you know, good driver, but she drives. And I still recall, she wasn't sure, she doesn't usually drive over the bridge. And you know how it is driving over the bridge, cars go very fast, and you don't know the turn-offs, and then you can really get lost. And so I recall going off this off-ramp, and she turned around the corner, and all three of us were thinking, there's something not right. And then cars are all coming to us. And the cars are blinking their lights. And then they're getting closer and the horns are beeping. And then it just suddenly clicked with all kids and they're like, watch out! And then suddenly Auntie Mace turns into this driveway and all the cars are beeping and then rushing by. We went the wrong way. It was a watch out moment. We went the wrong way. We weren't aware. It was one of those moments. Wake up! Be careful! I think this Paul is saying at the end of Ephesians, watch out. Be careful who you're dealing with. It's not just a friend or a person. This person doesn't read. This is the devil. Are you watching out for the devil in your life right now? Because he's scheming, isn't he? Is it a struggle for you? Are you struggling in this battle or wrestling? Are you struggling? Because I don't know about you, but I don't like struggling. I like to pull back and take a break. But Paul talks about this is a struggle. is a wrestle, is tiring. And that's what it should feel like being a Christian. Living out the Christian life was not a walk in the park, be comfortable, retire, and enjoy what you say. Living out the Christian life is a struggle spiritually because we are struggling against the devil. And so you have to ask yourself, are you struggling? Is it a struggle living out as a Christian? Or maybe you feel so tired that you have to step back and give up on the struggle living out the Christian life. It happens. Watch. Because behind all of our day-to-day life struggles is the true spiritual struggle. Every struggle you're going through, you see it in the eyes of the spiritual struggle. Holding on to what God promises, ignoring the lies that are not consistent with God's promises, and persevering in the struggle against the devil. So that's the first point. Spiritual struggle against the devil. And so we're going to how we stand against this devil will be the next 2 points. Stand firm in God, stand firm by praying. Stand firm in God. So verse 10, 11, and 13 stress. We need God in this struggle with the devil. So look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We cannot stand up to the devil ourselves. I'm too weak. And I know you're too weak. You're flesh and blood. But if there truly is the devil, you cannot stand. But the great thing is, we have God. In God, we can stand firm. And so the idea of God's strength, finding our strength and power, is also referred to in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Please turn to me with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Flip back over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. That talks about God's power and strength. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll start from verse 18. It's his prayers for these Ephesians. He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, what is it? Is the same as the mighty strength. What's that power and mighty strength? Verse 20 is the key. He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him His right hand in the heavenly realms, verse 21, far above all rule and authority, that same idea of chapter 6, far above them, the rule, the devil's rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only present age, but also in the coming. So in verse 19, Paul talks about God's great power, mighty strength, the same one in chapter 6, that same power that God showed is Jesus raising from the dead. And more than that, the power of Jesus ascending into the heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus, resurrected today, is far above all rulers. He's victorious over Satan, that power is saying. When Jesus died and rose again, He defeated Satan and is victorious. And not only that, don't worry about turning. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7 talks about Christians also are raised to life spiritually. And we also, right now, are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. So how do we stand firm? Is that when Jesus, the victorious, resurrected Jesus, we stand firm and He is victorious over the devil. So there's encouragement there. You look like ordinary people.
There's men, there's women, there's young. You guys are pretty young.
Yeah.
And there's older. And I'm sure there's different types of jobs and things like that. You all look like ordinary people. Mostly Asians, but not all. And even with Asians, you've got different Asians, you've got Singaporean Asians, Malaysian Asians, and all like that, and different generation. But we're all pretty normal. But this passage in Ephesians 2:1 says, you're not normal. If you are in Christ spiritually, you are also spiritually raised with Christ into the heavenly realms. You're resurrected spiritually with Christ, above Satan, above all his authorities. So you've got nothing to fear. So even though my first point said that it's a spiritual struggle, this point is encouraging. We don't have anything to fear because we are victorious, we are resurrected, and he has no power over us. You see that encouragement? So in Christ, we can be strong. And that's where the putting on the armor of God comes in as well. Because I'm not going to go into the detail about the armor of God, but the armor of God has reference to Old Testament Isaiah. So there are, that armor is God's armor, because in Isaiah, God is the one dressed up in the different parts of that armor. He's going around saving his people. This is God's armor. And so Paul is referencing, this is God's armor. So when we put on the armor of God, it is God's armor. We are protected because it's God's strength that protects us from the devil. And so we do not fear when we have God's armor on. And so why do we put on the armor of God? In verse 11 and 12, the similar verses. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And 13 is similar. Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. So put on the armor of God so that we will stand firm. So verse 11, 13, 14, four times in this last section, chapter 6, is talking about standing firm in God. Okay, the three times emphasize in God we stand firm. So it's through his strength we stand firm. In verse 14, he commands us to stand firm. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth, etc. And so God, or Paul, in this passage, is commanding us to stand firm. Despite the devil and his temptations and the struggles we face day to day with the devil, stand firm. I just have this image of stand firm. Is that, you know, you see lots of movies nowadays of the general say, stand firm! And all the armies lined up, yeah? And then this wave of crowds of enemies is coming over the hill. And then there's, you know, we're all together, we're in it together, come on. And then the commander says, stand firm! Stand firm! You know, they're just looking at the enemy, you know, flying over them like a wave. That's the picture there. Despite this struggle that we're in with the devil, we stand firm. We live out the Christian life. We don't succumb. We stand firm. We shared about one of our very close friends in Asia, Mark and Doris. He did not stand firm, did he? He did not stand firm. No. And it's a challenge. This passage is a challenge for us, man, to stand firm. So are you standing firm? Are you standing firm? Our example of Mark and Doris seems extreme, doesn't it? Why would you gamble away the whole house, the value of your house? Why would you fall into temptation with another woman? He's weak! But are we standing firm? Are we standing firm to the devil? So I just got these questions in application to finish off this point of the standing firm in God. And I got it from a book called Resilient Ministry for Pastors. And the first question is, how could you describe your walk with God over the past year? How could you describe your walk with God over the past year? Would you describe your walk as standing firm? Or would you describe your walk as not standing firm? Up and down, alone or feeling unsupported. How does your walk over this last year? The second question encourages, does someone hold you spiritually accountable? Is it true accountability? And you regularly ask the hard questions. Are you willing to share the struggles that you face day to day? Because it's very easy to not open up and share these struggles. So how would you describe your walk? And is someone holding you spiritually accountable? And so this is the second point. Stand firm in God. That leads to the third point. Stand firm by praying. So look at verse 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Notice how in verse 18 to 20, he's got three sort of movements in his prayer. He starts with broadly praying for everything, and then moves specifically to praying for all Christians, and then very specifically for the fearless preaching of the gospel. And this is all in the context of the struggle with the devil. If you want to struggle with the devil, you need to pray. It's a spiritual thing. So it's immediately raising the question, how is my prayer life? Am I struggling in prayer in this struggle? And so verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, all kinds of prayers. All the time, before a meal, after a meal, before a meeting, in the middle of a meeting, during a meeting, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Pray on all occasions for all types of prayer. And then in verse 18, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, be alert, actually, who is that? And be alert. And this is tied into the devil's scheming. Are we praying for Christians around us? Are we aware of the devil working in the people in my small group? Am I praying for them? Am I praying through people around me in the church? From broadly to specifically to very specifically in verse 19 and 20. Paul asks for prayer that he will be fearlessly declare the gospel. It's interesting, Paul, one of the most well-known apostles, twice he says in verse 9 and 20, pray that I will fearlessly declare the gospel. The devil does not want Paul to stand up and preach the gospel. You know, he's in chains at that time, and so he sees it's not that the authorities that chain him up, it's actually the devil. It's a spiritual thing that is stopping him from preaching the gospel. So he asked to prepare for that. One of the groups, we often go to prayer groups when we come back to Australia. And Joyce and I will go to one in Kimball. And I remember the first time we went to this prayer group. We knock on the house, and then they open the door and go in. And what surprised me about this prayer group is their furniture is really antique. They're really old. And it's not because they're young people who love old furniture, they actually are old people. You know, this furniture must have been the latest furniture when they bought it. But now when you go to their house, it's things you find in museums and things like that. And then one of the ladies, her hearing's not great, and so when we introduce herself, my name's Michael, she goes, "What?" And then he said, "Oh, my name's Michael." "Michael?" And then someone sitting behind her, this old man, and he's breathing really heavily. And you think, is he awake? Is he asleep? Because he, through the whole meeting, he doesn't really interact or move. And then when they give you a cup of tea, because in Western culture, tea, you know, it comes in one of those saucers and tea, and it just was not right, but anyway. And I think the person running this prayer room, I'm not even sure she can use the internet. Chris, can she use the internet?
No,
she can't use the internet. So that means she probably doesn't have a smartphone. But this group has been praying for many years for the work of the gospel. Month in, month out, praying for work in Japan and the Philippines. They've been praying for the fearless preaching of the gospel for many years. This is where the battle is. This is where struggling happens. When we're praying for people, praying for gospel work, we're praying for anything and everything. Are we doing that? Are we in this struggle right now? Or have we sort of given up? I need to stop reading the newspaper. And I read it online. Even though I live in Asia, I read it every day, a few times a day. It's a bad habit, isn't it? I need to stop. I need to stop checking my emails a few times a day. I need to stop checking WhatsApp, WeChat, Facebook, Instagram. Well, I don't have the master to use it. But you know, you do, for many times. And I need to start praying. I need praying. How is your prayer life? Is it ugly? Tribal? Or is it non-existent? This is how we stand firm against the devil. Am I standing firm against the devil? Is my small group standing firm against the devil? Is my wife and children standing firm? Is our church standing firm? Are we united and standing firm? Or is the devil here in the sea? So this is the third point, stand firm in prayer. We asked in the introduction, question, what is your view of the devil? And Paul here is saying the devil is real, is scheming, is a daily struggle. And does your view include this picture of Paul that he gives in this passage? Are you standing firm in God? Are you standing firm in prayer? This is serious stuff, isn't it? It's serious stuff. Because if I'm not standing firm, there's a good chance the devil's winning in your life. And does that matter? It does matter. Your eternity is at stake. The eternity of people around you is at stake. This is serious business. This is really worth putting our time and energy. It's worth giving up our jobs. But at least during our time, it's worth doing a lot of changes in my life and your life to make sure we're standing firm. Agree? So I hope and pray that we are seeing which we stand firm against the devil. Do God in prayer. So would you join me in praying about that? Just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder that we are all in a spiritual struggle. But Father, thank you for the encouragement that the Lord Jesus is victorious over the devil. In his death and resurrection and ascension, he's victorious. And we are united in being victorious over him. So we don't fear him. But Father, help us see the importance of standing up to him. Standing firm against his lies. Help us to be people of prayer. We pray for the deacons of this church that they'll stand firm. We pray for the leadership of this service that they'll stand firm. We pray for the small group leaders that they'll stand firm. The music team, the service team, the Sunday school teachers. We desire that everyone in this service will stand firm against the devil. In Jesus' name. Amen.